We are going to continue on in our series that is taking us through Advent and what we mean when we talk about that and what we're doing when we light these candles. They're not just, you know, a good idea that happens over here on the side and fills up a little bit of space on a Sunday service. They actually are purposeful, and they actually do something for us. They remind us of something. And so last week we talked about hope. We talked about not this world's hope, not what the world has to offer by way of hope, but what God means when he says hope, what the Bible means when it talks about hope. And it was awesome. I had an encouraging time looking at it and studying it out and thinking about it. And this week, we're going to continue on in our series that's going to take us to the next candle, which is peace. So if you have your Bibles this morning, let's flip it open to Philippians. Did you get that? Flip it open to Philippians. It's good. If you don't have your Bible, that's okay. We'll cheat by the screen. You like that? And this is what it says. Philippians chapter 4, verse 7. It says, "And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." As we start things off this morning, let's pray. Pray, one, that my cold won't get in the way of what God wants to do and say, and that this candy will stay in my cheek, but also that we would encounter him this morning, that we would understand what God is saying when he says, "I have this thing for you, this thing called peace," that we wouldn't miss what he's saying, that we wouldn't come into it with preconceived notions and ideas of like, "I got this, I understand it already, I know it," but that we would be open to what he wants to say. Let's pray. Father, you're so good. We thank you that we get to come to a place like this and celebrate your name and be inspired by you. And God, we thank you that we can just pause and reflect on some of these things that every single year come back around again, and we get to be reminded of them once again. But God, this morning as we talk about peace, you know, this word we hear so often in our culture, God, we want to understand it from your perspective. We want to understand what is truly available to us through you in this word peace. So speak to us. God, I pray that if there is any preconceived notions that will distract us, we pray that you would just take those from us. Pray that if there is any distractions in our life right now that is just taking up space in our mind so that we can't focus, we pray that you would take them from us so that we can focus on you and focus on what you want for us this morning. We praise you. We thank you. Amen. Amen. Well, we are going to continue in this series again. This week is all about peace. It's the peace candle. And I don't think that this word peace, I don't think that we could probably go a couple minutes throughout our day without hearing this word. You can flip on the news and you see it, you hear about it, you think about it, because our world is completely obsessed with wanting this thing called peace. You flip on the news and all you see is hostility. All you see is conflict. All you see, like this past week, as President Trump, you know, said Jerusalem is the capital of Israel. All of a sudden, you see conflict. You see that. Come on, that's right. But as you see that, all of a sudden, there's now a greater need for peace. You know, you think about all of the stories that you're seeing about the imminent threat of nuclear war that is right on the horizon, and you think, man, our world desperately needs peace. Peace is something that we know of in our culture. It's something that we think we understand. And in fact, it is probably the required answer of any beauty pageant contestant. That when they're asked, "What are you going to focus on this next year?" And they say, "World peace." Come on. World peace. It's true, right? This whole understanding, this whole thing is that we need this thing called peace. Yet the world cannot give it. The world actually doesn't understand it. Just like this word hope that we talked about last week, I truly believe that when we talk about peace, the same thing happens, where what the world believes and perceives to be peace does not line up fully with what God intended for us to understand in this word, peace. I want us to really understand what is being said. I want us to really understand and have a heart that's fully on board for going after and seeking out this thing called peace. What does it even mean? Because when we think about peace, we think of a lack of hostility or a lack of conflict, right? Like that's the easy answer, and that's what I believe the world would recognize as peace, peace on earth, no conflict, right? And can I just be really honest this morning? I want us to really think about something, because even biblically, we notice that, like, you know, when we pick apart the Bible, wasn't written in English. Did you guys know that? Anyways, so when we translate, some things are missing in that, and some things that when we read it, we read it in our culture and our understanding, but it needs to be read and understood from a culture that it was written from and understood in that way. Simply saying, even our greeting, when you walk around and you greet somebody, you see somebody that you know, what's the first thing coming out of your mouth? 90% of the time, it's probably, hey, how are you doing? Right? You know, and it's become such a bad thing that when you ask, you don't actually care. You just know that that's what you're supposed to ask. And 90% of the time, it doesn't even get answered anymore either. It's just like, doing good. You're not doing good. Anyway, so, but the equivalent Hebrew greeting would be, hey, do you have peace? This is what the greeting is. So like, hey, how are you doing? And do you have peace? Are like one and the same. That's a greeting that would be asked. And so when you think of it from that perspective, when we say, how are you doing? We're asking about all aspects of life. It's our way of shortening down everything like we do in the English language. Dumb it all down to absolutely nothing. These youngins over here are like, you know, cutting out vowels and everything like that nowadays too. I don't even know all the acronyms, okay? You guys help me. I know Seth teaches me some of them, and it's embarrassing, but don't tell anybody. This is online. No, I'm in trouble. Anyways. But like in this, we understand that as we continue moving forward in this, we got to understand what peace truly comes from, what it actually saying. And when we use this greeting, how are you doing? We're actually asking, like, how's your life? How is everything about you? How is everything, like, in everything that I don't know to ask you right now, if you're good, how are you doing is kind of my summary question that says, how are you in every aspect of life? And what the Hebrew greeting is asking in that is the same. In every aspect of life, how are you doing? Do you have peace? We're going to get into what more it really means, but I believe the biblical concept of peace means so much more than just an absence or a lack of conflict, an absence of hostility. It's so much more than that. Think of it this way. And anyway, sorry, the words like, we're in the Bible, words like prosperity, safeness, completeness, satisfaction, those words are used in English to describe this word peace. So when we think of it that way, it's this entirety of life. It's not just, hey, how are you doing? Or, hey, do you have conflict in your life right now? Is there hostility in your life right now? It's not just honing in on that one specific area of life. It's a whole complete life that God has for us. Peace. Peace. This is very different. It's a very different peace than what the world has to offer. In fact, Jesus says in John chapter 14, John chapter 14, verse 27 says this, I am leaving you with a gift, peace of mind and heart. And the peace I give is a gift the world cannot give. Can't give it. Can't happen. So don't be troubled or afraid. The peace that Jesus has to offer, a peace that comes from God, is not something you can get from this world. And yet the world would have us believe there are ways to attain this peace. If we sign this treaty, if we make sure that we cross our T's and dot our I's and everything is put before us, or a lot of the time it's just claim it, or it's just like make your life have peace in it. And it doesn't work that way. And anybody a fan of the Lion King? I love that. That movie is my jam, okay? Like it is good. It is gold right there. Disney hit it out of the park on that one. And some of my favorite characters, Timon and Pumbaa, yeah? Come on. Yeah, and what's their song? Do you remember? They sing Hakuna Matata. Hakuna Matata. What a wonderful phrase. Yeah? You with me? Nobody's singing it, so I'm just going to stop, but It talks about, like, it's not no passing craze. This is how they live life. And Timon and Pumbaa have taken on this lifestyle, this mindset that says, there's no worries. I'm just not going to worry about things. And can you see that that's how the world would want us to approach this thing called peace? Just ignore it. Just run away from it. Don't allow conflict in your life. Don't allow these things to happen and just flee from it. Claim it. Claim peace over your life right now. And that's what our world would want us to believe. That's what our world would want us to walk in. Just no worries for the rest of your days. I know, I wanted to, come on. Philosophy, Hakuna Matata, right on. Why am I singing every Sunday now all of a sudden? Sheesh. Listen, okay? The world has absolutely nothing to offer in the area of peace. Nothing. They can try all they want. And in every area of our life, we can see how our culture and our world has tried to fill the gap that only Jesus can fill. The area of peace is no different. They're trying to creep in and trying to think of ways that they can attain this peace that is only made possible through Jesus. In this journey of finding perfect peace, we have to begin by understanding that perfect peace only comes from Him. Let's look at it for a second. Last year, and I love this, and it's, I think, Seth's memory verse at school right now, is Isaiah 9:6. Everybody remember that one? That's a good one, right? Isaiah 9:6, it says, "For a child is born to us, a son is given to us, the government will rest on His shoulders, and He will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace." Keeps going, and I love it. "His government and its peace will never end." Come on, will never end. He is the Prince of Peace. I love the other prophecy. There's another one in Isaiah that speaks to Him coming, Him being sent. He's telling Mary, and it's like, you'll call Him Emmanuel, which means God with us. Jesus is God with skin on this planet, walked this planet, lived a life confined to flesh, but He was God, fully God, and in that, He brought peace. He is peace. And because of Him, we can find this perfect peace. And I guess you're sitting there maybe and thinking, well, that's good, but like you were talking about hope and how it's so awesome and how it's available to me, and I'm a Christian, but I'm not quite seeing it lining up in my life right now. And so what do I do in that place where there's this tension, where I know what's available to me, but I'm not quite seeing it? How do we push into that? How do we press into that? How do I see this peace that surpasses understanding happen for me? Well, if we look in Philippians chapter 4, verse, this time the verse right before 6 and 7, this is what it says. "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, and, or because of what you just did, or therefore, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." I see something in this passage. I don't know if you saw it there really quickly. Let's look at it. The first thing that this verse says to do, it says, man, you're going to, the peace and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, it's going to be with you. And because you're going to do, what did you do? The first thing it gets us to do is walk it out in prayer. Just get on your knees. Pray about it. Bring it to God. Make your requests made known. You have not because you ask not. Ask Him. Take it to Him. Take it to Him in prayer. And I love it with supplication. So it's just like with persistence, like persistent prayer, with a plea, like go for it. Don't hold back. Say, God, I need peace in my life right now. I need it. I'm going to seek You out and go after Him. And it also talks, I love this, about being thankful in there. And listen, we need to understand this. That thankfulness is not just an action. It is a condition of the heart. And gratitude is something that unlocks peace. Without gratitude, man, we can't see it because we are so focused on the problem. Gratitude shifts our focus. It helps us to see what we can't quite see in the moment. If we start being thankful to God for what he has done for us in the past, for who he is, for who we are because of him, all of a sudden our focus is drawn off of the problem and off of the situation and onto the solution that is Jesus. Shift your focus. Gratitude does that. The next big thing that I see that we have to do in this is trust. Trust in him. After we pray, there's a point where we need to let go of it and trust that he's for us. Trust that what he has promised us, he will come through and be faithful in. Trust in him. You know, I love, obviously, one of the passages of my life that I cling to and quote all the time is Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord in all your heart and lean not on your own understandings. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he will make your paths straight. Yeah? Trust in him. Man, it is so easy to allow your brain to do what your brain was allowed or designed to do. Where your brain is designed to, in a moment, flip through the Rolodex of past situations and past circumstances to come up with a possible outcome of what you're standing in front of. You get it? So you're facing a situation, your brain in an instant says this is probably what's going to happen and makes a decision because of that. The problem is that our brain isn't God. Our brain doesn't think like him. You know that passage that says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways. God is saying, listen, you don't understand. Okay, you don't get it, okay? You can't think like me. It just can't happen. And so in that moment, it takes trust. An understanding that comes over a process and period of time as you just continue to trust in him and trust in him and trust in him. Isaiah chapter 26 verse 3 says this, you keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. As you trust in him, as you focus on him, the solution to your problem, to the solution to the situation that you're facing, and you just trust in him, all of a sudden he gives you this perfect peace. This perfect peace that what? Surpasses all understanding. Let's sit there for just a couple moments. This perfect peace that surpasses all understanding. Let's just land there for a couple seconds as we look at that. Philippians chapter 4, verse 7. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding. Have you ever been in that place where you're like, yeah, I get that now because I've walked through it. When you haven't walked through it, it's a little difficult to understand. I get it. But let's just pick this apart and understand it a little bit, because I know that in situations where in front of me there was not what I wanted, let's say that, not a situation that was good, not a situation where I was excited for, it was a trial, it was a storm, whatever you want to call it, it was not good. And yet in me, there was a peace. It didn't make sense. My situation did not dictate that I should have a peace, and yet there was this peace. This perfect peace that comes only from God doesn't always get rid of the situation in front of you. And see, this is when we get it a little bit wrong, because what we do is we say, well, if my situation hasn't changed, then God didn't show up. And we disqualify everything else that God is doing in the moment. He supplies this perfect peace. It doesn't make sense in that moment. There can be a peace about you even though the situation hasn't changed. So don't let your situation dictate your faith. Don't let your situation dictate the peace that God is trying to give you. Trust in him. Focus on him. Set your eyes on him, set your heart on him, and go after him. Trust that he's there. Trust that he is for you. Trust that he is a good father and will give good gifts. Trust that he is right beside you at all times, like he has promised time and time again. Do not be scared, because I am with you. How many times does he promise that throughout Scripture? So many times. He's with you. And this peace that surpasses all understanding arrives, and though it doesn't make sense, it fills you and helps you see the solution to your problem, Jesus, in that. So this morning I want to focus on one thing, and this peace, and I'll invite Marg to come forward as we close and think about this season of peace. See, as Jesus came to this planet, He was to us was promised the Prince of Peace. And even in one of the passages that we looked at, Jesus was about to go, and he said, there's somebody else coming after me that's better. Trust me. He was speaking of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is with us. If you're a believer this morning, Holy Spirit is with you. And Holy Spirit provides this perfect peace. So it doesn't matter your situation here this morning or the circumstance you may find yourself in. And as we look to this Advent season, when we're talking about this is a season of peace, we may look around the world around us and all we can see is a lack of peace. It's really easy to see what we don't have. It's a little bit hard to see this intangible thing, God's peace. But as we fix our eyes on him, as we trust in him, his peace comes. So this morning, with every head bowed and eye closed, I would first ask, and we do this every week, if you're here this morning and you have not started a relationship with Jesus, this perfect peace can only come inside of a relationship with him. And he desperately wants to have a relationship with you. This is the gospel story that we talk about all the time. In the beginning, there was God, perfect, lacking in nothing. He created man to be in relationship with him. And in that relationship and in his creation, he created man with free will. And with that, man chose to sin, which created a separation between God and man. The relationship couldn't happen because of sin. But the story doesn't end there. God, in his perfect love for us, sent his one and only Son, Jesus. The reason for this season. He sent Jesus to die on the cross, to pay for our sins, past, present, and future. And that makes it possible for us to have a relationship with him again. So if you're here this morning, and you have not begun a relationship with him, it all begins there. And it's simple, it's not hard, it's just a prayer and an acknowledgement of where you're at and who he is. It's pretty easy. But if you want to do that this morning, I want to make sure that you have the opportunity to do that. And I want to pray with you. So if you're here this morning and you want to begin a relationship with him for the very first time, I'm just going to ask that you lift your hand with nobody looking around. Just to know who I'm praying for, on the count of three, you just lift your hand. One, two, three. And for the rest of us here this morning, this season is all about peace. It's all about us understanding peace. It's not that peace is only available in this season. It's that in this season, we get to realize and grow in a greater understanding of what happened when Jesus came, in that he brought, his government brought peace. And because he rules, because he is on the throne, we can have peace. And as we're reminded of that, maybe your situation right now is telling you that peace is not there or peace is unavailable, and we need to rectify that a little bit. We need to help ourselves understand that peace is always available through him, and that it may not look the way the world says it should look, But when you have this perfect peace that only comes from God, you know when you have it. And so I'm just going to pray with you as we close and pray that God's perfect peace would be on us as we go about our week, about our everyday lives. And the amazing thing in that is that as we go about our lives, we get to be ambassadors of His peace. That wherever we go, just like Hope, wherever we go, we get to be a beacon of light, a beacon of peace for the people around us. Where this world is completely devoid of hope, it's also completely devoid of peace. They're trying to grasp hold of something, an understanding of something, and they can't find it because they're not looking in the right place. But you have what they need. You have Jesus. So I'm going to pray this morning as we draw our time to a close that we would understand that as we go out into our world, what we need in peace, our world so desperately needs as well. So let's pray. Father, you're so good. We thank you that this morning we can look to and grow a greater understanding of this word called peace. And God, where we have thought wrong, where we have had misconceptions, we pray that truth would ring loudly right now, God, in our minds and in our hearts, that we would understand that true peace, your perfect peace, only comes from you. And as we understand it only comes with you, though our situation is telling us another thing, pray that we would understand that we can take it to you in prayer and ask for it. That we can go to you with thankful hearts so that our focus is drawn to you. And that we can give our situations to you. And God, we thank you that we can trust you. That there is no thing bigger than you. There is no situation or trial or storm that we may face that is bigger than you. And so that we can just give you these situations and trust that you know what's best. And you know, as a father, what is best for us. So God, we give you our situations right now. We give you our lives right now. We pray that you would shape us and mold us and that you would bring to us this perfect peace. And as we go about our regular lives this week, God, we pray that we would be ambassadors of your peace. That as we understand we desperately need this peace, we would grow a greater understanding, God, that our world is in desperate need of your peace. And where they're looking right now, they won't find it. So we pray that we could help our world, our community, our coworkers, our family, our friends that don't know you, find peace that is only found in you. Pray that you would open up doors and conversations that would lead to people finding you. So we give you our hearts, we give you ourselves this morning. In your name we pray. Amen.